it's in the manifestation, so. Go to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. When I get into this, you'll see what I was talking about. I was like, shall I ask somebody else to manifest after Warren kept it? Because I mean, it was all in there. I was like, that's great. We all have this verse of scripture, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We all have that verse of scripture on the refrigerator, on a magnet, or plastered in a picture somewhere on the wall in the house, or some little thing, some people, you know. But I've seen it in believers' houses for years. But just quoting that scripture, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you, there's more to it than that. A lot more to it than that. Got to go to the context of the word, what the word is really all about. So many times we take things out of context. We take one verse of scripture out of context, but there are like conditions on some of those scriptures. There are principles involved. There are other things involved. So let's start with verse 5. Now, he's talking to some of the leadership here, but part of this verse is pertaining to each other. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. There's a condition. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So I looked up a couple of those words. Bullinger. Proud means to be haughty and arrogant. Well, with God, how are we haughty and arrogant? It's called unbelief. When we don't believe God, we're being arrogant. Proud. It's not that you arrogance is walking around, oh, I'm better than you, which that may be an attitude that somebody might get. But basically, being arrogant and haughty with God is, I don't believe your word. I don't believe that's your will. I know what it's, but I'm not going to believe that. Because when we decide to believe, we decide not to believe. Is that true? Mm-hmm. So being haughty and arrogant, proud with God, is not believing what the word says. So it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this word humble was really, I got a lot out of that. I thought it was great. Listen to this. Humble is an adjective, and it refers to place, like lying low. And it refers to condition, like rank. Well, what is our rank with God? Right. Absolutely. That's what it is to humble yourselves before God. To take your place and let him have his place. Let him be God and you be you. He's God and we're not. So in order to humble yourselves before God, we are to do his will. We are to believe what is written, what he tells us to do. If he says to forgive, what are we supposed to do? Forgive. If he says to walk in love, what are we supposed to do? We are to walk in love. If he says to give of our finances, oh, what are we supposed to do? Right, that's humbling yourself before God. You know, humble in the Christian world is like, oh, I'm a Christian. You slap my face here, I'll turn this cheek and you can slap it. Run all over me, I'll let you. Because I'm humble. That's not what God's talking about at all. Humble before God is to do his will, to do what he asks us to do. If he says to take time to pray, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take time to pray. If he says speak in tongues, which he does, what are we supposed to do? Speak in tongues. You should have heard Doctor talk about that Tuesday night in Living Victoriously and Believing, how important I mean, he started speaking in tongues. I loved it. I loved it. But that's what we do, what his will says to do. That's how we humble ourselves before Almighty God. If he says we are to speak the word to each other and the world without the word, what are we supposed to do? That's humbling ourselves. It's not being a little, oh God, you know, what is your will? This is his will. That's how we humble ourselves. Our rank is to read this and to do it. His rank is the following verse. When you humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, you are already, axiomatically, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you humble yourselves to do the will of God to the very best of your ability at all times, then you have cast your care upon him. He has to take care of you. He has to, because he said he would. It's promised. But we are to do his will. If we go along in life and we never are thankful, if we don't praise God, if we don't speak in tongues much, and I mean much, and I don't mean 5 minutes in the morning, I mean much. If we don't operate manifestations, if we don't pick up the word and read it, if we don't go to fellowship, if all of these things, then how in the world, in a tight situation, are you going to go, I cast all my care upon God? There's no way that's going to happen. It just won't. We are to do God's will. That's how we cast our care upon him, is by doing his will. And you know what? When I'm doing his will and really doing my best for God, which sometimes is a little not good, but I'm doing my best, and God knows. But when I'm doing my best for God, you know what? Things happen that I haven't even had to think about. Deliverance often comes to pass before I've had a chance to even think about it. It's like, oh. But that, he giveth grace to the lowly. When I am doing God's will, I'm not thinking about it. You're busy thinking about doing God's will. And God's will, let's read some of the rest of it. I love this stuff. Casting all your care, you automatically that cast your care upon him because he promised he would. Then we go on, be sober. That doesn't mean don't get drunk. That means be sound-minded. Keep your mind sound. Well, how do we keep our mind sound? By thinking the word. That's the only way. Be sound-minded. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast in the believing. And that usage of believing is the right way of believing compared to all other ways of believing. In other words, the right way of believing is what? It's God's word. Can't be anything else. It's what God told us to believe. Resist steadfast. If we're not doing these things, you're not going to resist the devil. You aren't. If you're not sound-minded with the word, thinking the word to the best of our ability, and believe me, we all, I don't know why I woke up this morning and the song Do the Hokey Poke was going through my mind. I was like, what the hey? Where did that come from? I mean, come on. It's a wedding song. I guess yesterday I got my hair cut and some girl was getting ready to get married and they were talking about different songs. And I heard that. Now that's how your mind works. That's how, you know what I'm saying? I mean, usually my first thought as I start talking to God this morning, it was do the hokey poke. But I did catch it. I didn't start singing it while I got in the shower, thank God. But I'm like, God, what the heck? Where did that come from? I mean, come on, get real. So then I kind of got it straightened out. But I thought, but that's the human mind and what we hear, what we put in it. So if we're not being sound-minded and vigilant with it, we're not going to be able to resist the devil. And he is a roaring lion. Look at the world. Look at what's going on in the world. You could get scared to death right now if you believed it. If you heard the news and believed some of it, that it applied to us, and it is happening in the world, but it does, you know, we're set apart from the common. But all kinds of things can go through your mind that distract you from standing steadfast, resisting the devil. But it comes into humility to God, doing God's will no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the condition is. Always, whatever the circumstances are, we have to be whole-minded. We have to be vigilant about it. We have to make an effort to think the word and believe it. And you know what? Tell yourself, I believe the word. Tell yourself, I believe that, God. I believe that. When you're reading the word, I believe that. Tell yourself that. Because sometimes you have to convince yourself to believe. Just tell yourself, don't you believe it? I mean, come on. We've been around, some of us, for 42 years. I ought to believe a little something out of it by now. But I tell myself at times, I believe that. I believe that's your will. I believe that. I believe that I can walk in love. I believe that. Because if you don't tell yourself that, you can get talked out of it. You know that old thing, that you doubt your own believing? That's the stupidest thing in the world to do. But believing and doing God's will, basically, from living victoriously, is believing who you are in Christ. You must believe who you are in Christ. You must believe that you are righteous, that you are set apart from the common, that the world does not have anything to do with you. You are not of this world. You must believe who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for us. That's where we lack believing a lot of times. We don't believe who we are in Christ and what God has done for us in Christ. You know, I sent that text out. You will never live victoriously. This was a direct quote. You will never live victoriously until you believe that you have what the Word of God says you have, and that you are what the Word of God says you are. And I know that everyone in this room wants to live victoriously. Who wants to be defeated? Who wants to listen to the roar of the adversary and get bitten by him? Who wants that? None of us. None of us. If you do, you need to leave, because you're in the wrong place. But we have to tell ourselves, who we are in Christ and what we have. That's how we resist the enemy. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren there in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have supped, endured a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Isn't that great? He'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Isn't it nice to be settled in your heart? I think it's called the peace of God. But that's another way, you know, to be settled. I know that has some meaning in the Greek, but we'll read it for what it says. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Being thankful is one of the keys to being humble. Go to James 4. There's another reference. There's a couple of references to this. God resists the proud. And I'm going the wrong way again. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You want to see his grace manifested? Especially when you're standing against the adversary. When he's roaring at you and wanting to devour your life and steal the word from you, how about instead more grace from God, that you see his grace manifest in the situations, and giveth grace unto the humble. And go to Psalm 138. That's a reference. This is a reference in the Old Testament. I think God kind of means that. Verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. There's our rank again. But the proud he knoweth afar off. In other words, he doesn't want to see them. Get out of my face. I don't want to see you. The proud he knoweth afar off. In other words, he doesn't want anything to do with it. And he won't have anything to do with it. I love that. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. That's us, the humble. That word lowly is Hebrew. It's humble again, humility. Willing to do God's will. And you know, when the adversary is walking about roaring, one of the best things you can do is give. Start giving. If you're in a situation where there's nobody else to give around, start speaking in tongues for somebody. Start praying for somebody else. Give. Give, 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 give. Constantly giving. Doesn't matter what's going on, guess what? You can still speak in tongues. Always. In any situation. And speak in tongues for somebody else. Ask God, who should I pray for? He'll tell you. Start speaking in tongues for other people. That's the greatest way to give, and that's something you can give no matter what the situation is. I can be on my deathbed and still speak in tongues for people. Isn't God good? I mean, he provides us a way to do his will all of the time. All we have to do is go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6:24, we'll start in there. This is Jesus Christ giving instruction, like he was always giving instruction on how to believe, how to walk, how to love God, what to do with your life. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. All of those things he tells us, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, you all know this. Go down to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can always seek the kingdom of God no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation. You can always speak in tongues. You can always pray, even if it's just to yourself. When the adversary is walking about roaring at you, trying to cause havoc, pray. Give. Get outside of yourself. Give. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ask God, what do you want me to do? What shall I do? What's your will in this situation? Do I say anything? Do I shut up? You can always speak in tongues. You can always seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Always. There's never an excuse for us. There's never an excuse for us. And when we're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are going to be added to us. We don't have to get uptight. We don't have to dwell on all of our needs. All of our needs and our wants and our shortcomings and our faults and our failures. When we're seeking God first, and we seek Him, His will through His Word, correct? We don't have to worry. We don't have to, you know, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? How am I going to get gas? How am I going to get a new car? How am I going to get new tires? How's my kid going to go to college? How's my hospital bill going to get paid? How's this? How's that? How's this? How's that? How's this? How's that? No. Jesus Christ Himself said it. You don't have to worry about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, I know that we all have bills to pay, and I know that we do that, and we have jobs, and we take care of life, but we don't, but we're always seeking the kingdom of God. We're always desiring God. And seek means continually, continually seeking God and His Word. And that comes into being having whole thoughts. It's so simple that a fool need not err therein. We always have the opportunity to do God's will in every situation, no matter what it is. Even if it's pray. When you think your hands are tied and there's nothing you can do, pray for somebody else. Dr. Werwell used to say in the advanced class, if you want to be healed, pray for somebody else's healing. Now, there's something to that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We don't have to worry about it. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing. But it doesn't say that out of context. It's got a context. Read it. It talks about being kind to one another. And if there's anything lovely, if there's anything pure, if there's anything good, think on these things. The whole context. Sometimes we take one verse, we wait until we're in the dire straits or some of the lions roaring, and then we start saying, quoting scripture, be anxious for nothing, be anxious for nothing. Be, well, you're already anxious or you wouldn't be doing that. No, we seek God first. We always seek Him and His Word first. We must have sober thoughts, a sound mind, and be diligent at it. We must be in order to believe when the lion roars, God's deliverance will come. He giveth grace unto the lowly. We humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt us. And you know what? Humbling ourselves is believing who we are in Christ. Period. Period. End of story. That's the end of the story. Believe who we are in Christ. So that's what we need to seek in our minds. Constantly thinking whole thoughts along those lines. Putting God first. Everybody said, well, how do you put God first? You think. Thinking. Thinking His thoughts, having whole minds, sound thoughts. You know, a good practice to do is, after you've been up for about an hour, ask yourself, what have I been thinking about most of the time since I've been up? Take a checkup from the neck up. But we need to believe who we are in Christ and what God has already done for us spiritually. That's how we resist the devil. When he knows that you know who you are, the Word says he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you because he already knows. When he knows that you are worried sick about some little dinky problem that God could have solved 6,000 years ago. He knows by your attitude, he knows by your words, he knows what you're thinking by your words, because your words confess what's in your heart. Your words speak loudly, and they speak loudly to him, and they speak loudly to God. When he knows that you know who you are, says he'll flee from you. What did he do with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ turned around. It is written. Very calmly, I imagine the man was too. It is written, and the devil takes off. He goes and gets somebody that's not thinking whole thoughts, that's not seeking God, that's not doing God's will. And you know what? When you're doing God's will, you're very happy. I am. I'm very happy when I'm doing the will of God. When I'm thinking about, I was having a ball this morning after I got my mind fixed from do the hokey poke. After I got that taken care of, I was having a ball by myself with God, thinking about fellowship, how much fun it is. I was like, God, I'm having a blast. I'm having more fun, you know, putting out the song books. I mean, that's funny because what I used to think was fun 60 years ago wasn't putting out songbooks for a fellowship, believe you me. Now what we think is, I was having a ball with God just thinking about fellowship this morning. It was wonderful. So we think, I know in my life, and I know that everybody else has the same kind of natural man mind, that when we're seeking the will of God and doing God's will, and humbling ourselves before Him to do that, we are the happiest, the very happiest, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're worried, when you're thinking all this other junk, are you happy? No, you're miserable. You're miserable. And it just, misery loves company, it just can multiply. So can the Word multiply in your mind. So can the Word. So we seek the kingdom of God and His will. And His will is that we do His will. And we seek God by believing what the Word says about us. Okay? Okay. Amen.